All right. I think that's going to do it. Jess, are you ready for some rapid fire, sir?
Yes, I'm ready for some rapid fire.
You had me worried a little bit that, you know, you were just going to bug out on me or something, that we weren't going to be doing this. All right, we may not go in the order, by the way, that this is listed, but we're going to get to these questions. All right, here we go. Let's play, since we're talking about the college football playoff, let's play a little game of overrated, underrated, or properly rated when it comes to the college football playoff rankings from last night. All right? So I'm going to give you the name of a team. You're going to tell me if they're overrated, underrated, or right where they should be. All right? In a year full of surprises, underdog wins, and the so-called experts getting it wrong, MyBookie is the one book that's got your back. No fluff, no second guessing, just straight up action with you in total control. Think you're going to roll the dice with the other guys? Well, good luck to you. At MyBookie, it's never been about guessing. It's about giving you the edge. So every bet you place comes with confidence and a plan. If you know football and love to win, MyBookie was made for you. If you're new to the game and not sure where to start, Irish Breakdown's got you covered. Step up, use our promo code IRISH, and that'll double your bankroll with a 100% deposit bonus right from the jump. That's more money and more power to make winning plays. If you've been betting with us already, we've got something to share with you too. With MyBookie Plus, the new loyalty rewards program, you can now earn extra cash just for doing what you do. More plays, more wins, more cash in your account. No strings attached. Here's a pro tip to get you rolling. The NFL teams with powerhouse offensive lines are dominating the run game this year, and betting game total unders has been printing money. Stack that with MyBookie's risk-free Thursdays, and you've got endless ways to bet and win all season long. So why wait? Bet anything, anytime, from anywhere with MyBookie, the sportsbook that gives you control and rewards you for every moment of play. Here we go. The easy one, Penn State.
This is a big overrated for me.
And why is that?
They have one loss. They have a team in their conference that is undefeated. And again, I feel like this goes back to the conversation we have. Penn State never beats anyone that they're not supposed to, and they beat up on the bottom feeder teams of the Big Ten. I've seen this every year. And Penn State gets lucky in some of those New Year's Six games because they're going against teams who often aren't completely playing their starters, you know, and I think Penn State majority of the time does, and so they sneak out some of those New Year's Six bowl victories, right? But again, I've just seen this. I've seen this story over and over again, and I don't feel like anything has changed. They finally got their guy at quarterback. He's not proven any difference.
Defense is good. Offense is a struggle bus.
Yeah, but their defense is always good. You know, Again, that's the thing about Penn State. Always good defense, always good in the trenches, but never have a quarterback that can really kind of put them over the top. And nothing's changed this year. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, like, you know, that Ohio State game was close and they probably should have beaten it. It's like, okay, but they didn't. And they still played really sloppy football, turning the ball over twice within the 5-yard line and not getting any points out of it. So, yeah, I don't think that there's such thing as a good loss. A loss is a loss.
Agreed. I am not a fan of where Penn State is. I think they are drastically overrated as a top 4 team in the country.
I think they're more so like an 8 or 9 team than they are a top 4 team.
Look, I think they should be in the playoff. I have no problem with them being in the playoff. None. Because they're not a top 5
team, though.
But they're not a top 5 team. No, they should be on the road the first round, right? And whether that's 9, 10, 11, whatever the case may be, but that's where they belong. They do not belong in the 4 spot. I've got a major problem with that. They are so overrated right now, and it's not just us saying it. I don't want to harp on it, but Penn State is so overrated right now. So, and it's just amazing to hear the excuses that are being made for them. It's mind-boggling to me. All right, IU.
I would say they're slightly underrated, and I think that if the committee wants to reward undefeated teams that they should be higher a little bit. I don't know what to what degree, but fortunately for IU, is, and as we all know, they have Ohio State on the schedule. So a lot is going to be proven or shown in that IU game, and they'll get the either the respect or the drop in the rankings that they deserve after that Ohio State game.
Yeah, I've got them slightly underrated. Just, as
maybe
well.
Like a spotter, like by one spot.
One spot. I don't think they're better than Texas. I don't think they belong there, but I do think they're probably better than Penn State, yes, to be honest with you. And if you're just looking at schedules and, you know, all of that, look, they're undefeated in the same conference as Penn State.
Right.
Undefeated.
That's what I mean. Come like, on.
You belong above Penn State, period, end of discussion. I don't care that Penn State lost to Ohio State. IU lost to nobody. It's where they belong. Now, next week when we're having this conversation and IU has a loss on their record, then I'm going to have a different discussion because I think they should fall, right? Because at that point, when they're no longer undefeated, I think you do have to look at their resume with a bit of a closer microscope and decide, okay, where are your wins, right? Now that you've got a loss, now we have to start analyzing you.
Now we really do need to come into these wins.
Exactly. But I think you got to do that to Penn State too. Because they obviously haven't done that either. So I think right now, I honestly would have no problem if IU was in the four slot this week, right? Because they're an undefeated Big Ten team. I would have no problem with them being at four. But then, you know, let's see what happens against Ohio State. Don't get blown out by Ohio State. Because if you get blown out by Ohio State and this isn't a game, then we
think you're teetering with even being in the playoffs.
Yeah,
at that
then
point.
Yeah, then we've got a different conversation going. You know what I mean? But I think both Penn State and IU belong eventually. I think they belong in the bottom half of the playoff. So, all right, next team on the list, Notre Dame.
I'll go out to say I think Notre Dame's right on point, right on where they should be. That you can make an argument that they should jump. I think they're better than BYU. I think they're more talented than BYU. But BYU is still undefeated, so that's kind of what's keeping them up there. But I would say Notre Dame is right on where they're supposed to be, and you could maybe make an argument for number seven.
I hate that I'm agreeing with everything that you've said so far. I think Notre Dame is fine right where they're at because I do think there are going to be multiple teams ahead of them that are going to lose.
Yeah, and it'll take care of itself.
And Notre Dame will just kind of keep marching their way up. And look,
they're just steady climbing.
Yeah. If you look at the rankings right now, I think Notre Dame is better than Tennessee. I think they're better than BYU. I think they're better than IU. I think they're better than Penn State. Right? So do I think Notre Dame should be in the four slot right now? I could make a case for it, right? Just from the eye test and watching them play the game. But I think every one of those teams that I just named has a chance of losing over the next 3 weeks. And so Notre Dame will just be working their way up, beating teams by 3 or 4 touchdowns, you know, and then
waving
just
as they
teams,
go by.
But yeah, fall down to the wayside as they just keep moving up. So I just think things are going to work out for them. Do I think they're better than the number 8 team in the country right now? Yes. So does that mean they're underrated? Maybe. But I think they're perfectly positioned to be where they need to be when it's all said and done. So I'm okay with that. And ND Forever 72 says Notre Dame would have been in the top 3 without the NIU loss. They dude, they would have been maybe the number 1 team in the country, maybe number 2. They would have been 1 or 2 if they were undefeated. Notre Dame would be they would be 1 or 2.
And then when the rankings came out, they'd get knocked down to 5 and be looking to play the Group of 5 champion.
Right. And I think at the end of the day, when everything is all said and done, all the dust settles after all the conference championships, the final rankings, I think Notre Dame slots in right at number 6 in the seeding, right? And that's only one spot worse than they would be if they were undefeated. So I think that's okay. I think 6 is really okay. I don't have a problem with 6 because here's the thing. At 6, you're going to play the number 11, whoever that happens to be. It's going to be a 2-loss SEC team probably, right? At home on December 20th or 21st. And then they'll either play the Big 12 champion or the ACC champion in the next round. I'm okay with either one of those. So that's like a ticket to the Final 4. Let's go. You know what I mean? So I would be fine with that because the best you can do is 5. The best you can do at Notre Dame is 5. And I think they're going to be 6. Okay, cool. I'm okay with 6. So if you'd have told me on September 9th when Notre Dame lost to NIU that they're going to be six, I would have told you you were crazy. There's no way that that was going to happen. So you've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare you. That's seven delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's got to be Wendy's at participating U.S. Wendy's.
Light it. Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Urban Meyer. This fall, the game changes. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, and broadcaster Rob Stone as we bring you a new perspective on football and culture every week. We will be joined by the biggest name in sports and talk about everything inside and outside of the lines. Let us guide you through a new era of college football. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
All right. Here we go. How about Miami?
I think Miami is, again, another team right that they got kind of right on or perfect, is maybe the word to put it. I think when you start looking at, you know, the one-loss teams, Tennessee, Notre Dame, kind of rounding out that the bottom of the 7, 8, 9, 10, I think they're below Tennessee and Notre Dame for good reason. And I think they're ahead of the two-loss Alabama, Mississippi's, Georgia's of the world as well. So I like where they're at, actually.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with where Miami is. You know, I think they I wouldn't really have an argument if they were a little bit lower. I don't think they belong any higher because, like you said, they've been skating that line for the last few weeks, and it finally caught up to them against Georgia Tech, excuse me. So I don't really have an issue with where they're at. I think natural causes will affect them and they'll end up where they end up. And if they end up winning the ACC, they're going to be the four seed, for goodness sake. So you want to talk about playing above your skis, that will definitely happen, which is, again, why I want Notre Dame to be in that sixth slot. So they got a chance to play potentially Miami, which would be horrific for Miami. So, all right, a couple more here. How about Georgia? Thoughts on Georgia? They fell all the way down to number 12. I believe they were 3, and now they're 12.
Yeah, I think they're right where they also. I think a lot of people in the chat are saying even. I think Georgia is even with where they should be. You know, look who's ahead of them. Alabama, Ole Miss, both with 2 losses, both beat them. That's where their 2 losses reside. So I think they're in the perfect spot.
They're on the outside looking in, but they're also in a great spot because they get to play the number 7 team, you know, this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, as long as Georgia wins the rest of their games, they'll be in.
They'll be in, right? I mean, they may have to go on the road, but they're in a great spot for themselves because if they win out, then they're gonna be just fine. Now,
that's a potential Notre Dame matchup at 6-11.
It is a potential Notre Dame matchup. I'd be okay with that. There's some bad blood there between Notre Dame and Georgia because Georgia's 2-0 against them.
Very the last close two games.
Yeah, so I think Notre Dame is much better situated to win that game this time around. All right, the final team we're going to talk about, BYU.
On paper, I think they are where they belong, being at the number 6 seed. But the eye test, I think they're criminally overrated, but that'll take care of itself. And even if they go undefeated and win the Big 12, I was texting a buddy last night. I'd love to be the team matching up with BYU.
Oh, yeah.
They'll get boat raced. Whoever BYU plays in their first game, they are going to get absolutely steamrolled by.
Yep. Completely agree with you. Completely agree with you. And I don't even care who it is that Notre Dame plays. Like, Notre Dame's in the 6th slot. They're either going to play Miami or BYU, right?
Yep.
And yes, sir.
Yeah.
Where do I sign up? You know what I mean? Like, that would be fantastic. I have no problem with that whatsoever. So I think this is shaping up to work out in Notre Dame's favor for sure. All right, let's get to a few non-college football playoff ranking questions. We'll stick with some Notre Dame stuff, though. The fact that Since 2022, when Marcus Freeman took over at Notre Dame as the head coach, the Irish have the best winning percentage against the spread of any team in the country is blank.
It's absolutely surprising, Vince, because if there's one thing that Notre Dame isn't good at is beating teams how they're supposed to, right? Like that was the long, like I just remember every Brian Kelly game felt like, all right, well, Wake Forest is coming into town and they got like two wins, but Notre Dame will find a way to, you know, only win by 10 points and have, you know, it'll be kind of close going into the fourth quarter. It felt like that, you know, those Toledo games, the Ball State game, like, they're horrible about beating teams the way that they're supposed to. So it's not surprising as a knock to Marcus Freeman. It's just as surprising considering what Notre Dame football has looked like the last two decades.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I was pretty shocked when I saw this, to be perfectly honest with you. it's like, I think the number was like 66 or 67% of the time they, you know, cover the spread or whatever. And it puts them number one. I think number two was like Tulane or something like that, you know, and I was trying to look for that, that chart. And I can't find it now that I wrote the question, but ooh. I know, right. I know. I should have put it in there so you could at least reference it. But I was shocked by that. I had no idea. Now they've done a pretty good job recently of covering the spread without much of a problem. But I figured since you were a betting guy, that's something that you needed to speak on.
You needed to present that to me.
I did. I really did. I saw that and I was like, oh, yes, sir. Let's go.
That's all right. Your audience.
I know, right? Jerry Faust. We talked about him a little bit. Jerry Faust passed away yesterday. He was the head coach at Notre Dame in the early 80s. So before both of our times, honestly, of watching the Irish. Me because I was too young and you because you weren't even born yet.
Yes, sir.
But Coach Faust was an extremely successful coach at Moeller High School in Ohio. So kind of your neck of the woods, right?
Yep.
And he was hired directly from high school to be the head coach at Notre Dame. Okay.
Crazy to think about.
I know. So scale of 1 to 10, the chances of us ever seeing a coach hired directly to a Power 4 program from a high school.
I'll put this at a 1 out of 10. I think it is very unlikely, but as you know, Vince, anything is relatively possible.
Yeah.
It would be like Deion Sanders' grandson or something like that. You know what I mean? Just like a legacy guy who like gets that's starting to do well, and everyone's like, "Oh, this guy is great," and his granddaddy is Deion Sanders. Let's just
boop. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like. Again, that's the example. You could, you know, put Deion and, you know, this person, you could replace them with whoever you want. But that's the kind of scenario that I would be looking at to see, like, for something like that to happen. So, again, it's not impossible.
Right.
There's a relative chance, but those chances are very small.
I agree. I mean, you might see somebody take a flyer at a lower level Power 4 team, right? Like a Cincinnati, like just for the example, right? Moeller is in Cincinnati. You could maybe see a Cincinnati like, hey, this guy's been super successful in our own backyard. You know, let's give him a shot as just a for example. Right. But it's a one for me. I just don't think schools are going to make that kind of an investment in a high school coach. But it's definitely possible. Father David Penny said, didn't Texas Tech just do this? Maybe. I don't know the answer to that. They couldn't do worse at Texas Tech. So maybe that happened. And there's a lot of good coaches down in Texas. That's for sure. So, I just don't see that happening, but hey, you never know. I would, stranger things have definitely happened, but I always thought that that was such an interesting thing and why people were surprised that he wasn't successful at Notre Dame when he had zero college coaching experience, you know, coming in.
So Joey McGuire, head coach of Texas Tech, started his career as a Texas high school coach in 1995, ended in 2016, and then he became the tight end coach for Baylor in 2017, had a couple stints at Baylor, and then became the Texas Tech head
coach.
There
you go. So, all right.
So Father David Penny, I appreciate you challenging. I love to be challenged. But no, he did not come straight from high school.
Yes. And there's been plenty of coaches that have coached high school and then have coached college.
Right.
But making that jump from head coach, yeah, that's a little bit different for sure.
Or I think another scenario is if you had like a high profile guy that played in the NFL for a while, you know, wanted to scratch that itch of coaching, right. Got into some high school, right. Was really good for a few years, and then a desperate NFL team was like, we can make this happen.
I like that. Yeah, it's definitely there's a possibility, but it would have to be like coming from like IMG Academy or right. What's the school in Vegas that's blue and orange. I can never remember the name of it's like Bishop Gorman, I believe. You know, it'd have to be coming from a program like that actually like plays a bit of a national like that's schedule.
Basically a college high school team.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. 100%. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits, and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one, and I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together, and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1-year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Matt Leiner.
I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more.
We'll give you the behind-the-scenes stories from my days as the quarterback on an iconic college football team to Jerry's days as a star on an iconic TV series.
So subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
All right, let's see here. So after the 1 week, I believe, experiment with Joe Flacco at quarterback, the Colts have now decided to go back to Anthony Richardson. This guy, the guy that wanted to come out because he was tired. They're going back to Anthony Richardson. This move by the Colts is blank to you.
It's laughable, and it's not laughable because of who it is and what the circumstances. It's just laughable because as an organization, you still can't figure out what you're doing at quarterback since Peyton Manning. Let's just be 100% transparent about the issue. You say you draft a guy because he's got, you know, all the talents. You know he's got a history of injury and hasn't really played a ton of football, doesn't have a ton of football experience, but you know, your googly eyes over the big arm, the athleticism, everything like that. But then you don't want to take the lumps and bruises that come with developing a guy like that, right? So, like, do you want to develop him or do you want and develop him by sitting him on the bench and letting him learn? Or do you want to develop him by throwing him out there into the ring of fire and saying, go at it? Well, when you throw him in the ring of fire, you can't constantly pull him in and out of it, right? You got to make a decision. Are we going to either let him sit in there and figure things out under the fire? or you pull him out and you bench him for a year and let him figure it out on the bench, right? Like, I don't think going back and forth like this does anyone any good. And I don't want to go down this lane too much, Vince, but I don't mind him tapping out. My dad and I got into a lengthy argument about this one. I don't mind him tapping out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I got a big problem with him tapping out. Your dad and I are going to agree on that one. I got a big problem with him tapping out. That was embarrassing for him, frankly. But yeah, that was, I just think that the Colts just made such a massive mistake.
Yeah, but own up to it. Decide how you're going to develop him. Is it on the bench or is it in game? You got to pick one, because again, you're just making yourself look so much stupider when you flip back and forth of how you want to actually develop this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I was trying to look up who else was in that draft from a quarterback standpoint. Cause obviously, you know, Bryce Young went one, CJ Stroud went two, and then Anthony Richardson went four. But I'm not seeing.
Wasn't Will Levis in that draft?
The list of just straight quarterbacks. Hold on. Let's see here. I'm sure somebody will. There we go. There were 14 quarterbacks drafted. I don't need to go to the Wikipedia page that just talks about what a quarterback is. It's not helpful. Gotcha.
Number one was CJ Stroud.
Yep.
Or sorry, number one was Bryce Young. Number two was CJ Stroud. Number four was Anthony Richardson. Will Levis went 33. Hendon Hooker went 68. Florida State had Fresno State had a random guy go later in the draft. Stetson Bennett went to the Rams.
Okay.
Aiden Connell went to the Raiders.
So there really was nobody else after him, is what you're saying.
Yeah, to a degree.
Yeah, okay. I can't really hold it over their heads then that like they passed on somebody that was actually good. But it was not a great choice. I'll just say that. There's other holes they could have filled at that point. So as far as this question is concerned, dude, you should have just ridden Joe Flacco the rest of the way and cut your losses and tried to figure out the quarterback situation moving forward. You're not going to be making the playoffs if you're the Colts. I mean, you're just not a good football team right now. And, you know, you're not going to catch the Texans, right? I think they've got like a 4-game lead right now, and it's November. So I just, man, asking to come out of the game as a quarterback, I've never seen that before, ever. And it's just not a good look. It's not a good look for him. It's not a good look for the franchise. And you going back to him after 1 week just seems like they don't even know what they're doing at this point. It's not a good look, Jesse. All right, from one bad team to another, Shane Waldron is out as the Bears offensive coordinator. The Bears have lost three straight, including the game against the Commanders with the failed Hail Mary defense. So scale of 1 to 10. The chances that Matt Eberflus is the head coach in March of 2025.
So while I'm giving this answer, I'd like you to go up and star up the DT Roll Hunter question about Dion and the Cowboys. But I'll give you a nice answer to your Matt Eberflus question and his chances of returning as the Bears head coach next season. To me, it's 50-50, so a 5 out of 10.
Really?
It's a toss-up because my rationale for this one is, Vince – if they were going to fire him and clean house, they should have done that before this season started.
Sure.
And allowed the new coaching regime to pick who they wanted at quarterback and what they wanted to do with that second pick. Did they want to go wide receiver or did they want to go with an offensive lineman to protect this new franchise quarterback that they were drafting, right? And so I think the Bears made a number of issues to get to this point that they're in right now. And nothing is telling me that they're going to be self-aware to be like, you know what, we could fix this issue by just getting rid of the staff and kind of starting over with the new coaching staff with Caleb Williams. So, again, I guess what I'm saying is their incompetence leads me to believe that I don't know what they're going to do, right? Are they going to continue to be more incompetent? Or are they actually going to do the smart thing? And so for that reason, it's 50-50 for me.
I love this one from Stymie. He says 10 because it's the Bears. That's spoken from a true Bears fan too, by the way. And I don't necessarily disagree with them on that. I just don't see how you can keep him around at this point, but it is the Bears. So I'm leaving the door open. So I'm going to give it a 3 at this point. They already fired the offensive coordinator and it's November 13th. And I feel like that is shades of things to come. You invested in Caleb Williams, which I've made no mistake. I don't think that was the right move either. And I've been very vocal about that. And look, the Bears were in a good spot. They were in a good spot. They were in playoff contention if they win that game against the Commanders. And then they're feeling good about themselves and everything else. And that was just a horrible situation. And you lost to a bad Patriots team this past weekend. It's not good. It's not good over there in Chicago for the NFL team that resides there. So I'll leave the door open slightly, but I'll give it a 3 out of 10 that he's still the coach in March. And frankly, I'm hoping they kind of move on. But, you know, can't I wish they move on from their quarterback, but, you know.
Can't throw to a wide receiver when you got no time to sit in the pocket.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But still, I still think they made a mistake. All right.
Vince is like, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Final question of the night. And it's going to be an either or question. All right. Going back to the college football playoff. Who has the better chance to make the playoff as things stand now and knowing what is upcoming? So knowing what their schedule is, moving forward with whether that's the conference championship, whether it's not, whatever. So who has the better chance of making the playoff? IU or Colorado?
I like this question, but I think it's an easy question.
Okay.
And the answer is IU solely because they have more margin of error. They can lose a game and still get in. If Colorado loses any of their remaining games or the Big 12 championship, they're out.
Clearly,
so
yes.
For that reason, I have to go with IU.
Clearly, they are out if they lose another game. There's no doubt about that. They are slowly climbing back into this thing, which is mind-boggling.
If you're Colorado, though, it's amazing because your destiny, everything is in your control.
Yes.
You win these three games. You're in the Big 12 championship.
Correct.
You win that game. You're a top 4 seed with a bye and hosting a game.
Look, there is no – okay. How do I want to say this? Colorado can beat by BYU. And I firmly believe that that's the case, right? And right now, BYU is 6-0 in the conference. Colorado is 5-1 in the conference. And they have in front of them Utah, who's going to be stinging after that BYU loss, right? They've got Kansas and they've got Oklahoma State. Those are all three very winnable games. They should win all three of those games. Will they? We'll see. I'll be rooting for the Jayhawks, that's for sure. But they've got three very winnable games. They're 5-1 in the conference. There's nobody else in the conference with one loss. Everybody has two or more besides BYU. They control their own destiny at this point. If they win the next four games, they're in, and they're a top 4 seed. They're in, and they're a top 4 seed, which means they get a bye, which is mind-blowing right now. You're right, though. The answer is IU because they have more margin for error. They can lose a game and still get in as, you know, an at-large. Colorado's not getting in as an at-large, I don't think. They have to win their conference championship. But it's doable right now, man. Like, it is doable, and that is scary. And that's why I wanted to talk about Colorado a little bit and you know, put them up against IU. Now, if IU loses twice, they're out, right? But I don't necessarily see that happening either at this point. So, but yes, the answer is IU, but man, Colorado, man, they hold their destiny in their own hands. All right, DK, thanks for the super chat, my man. He says, you're not ending this show early. Rank the 85 scholarship players 85-1.
So since you paid $5 and you did put a question in, I'm not doing 85-1, but I'll give you my top 5 players.
Okay.
Top 5 scholarship players on the roster. Number 1, Jeremiah Love. Top scholarship player on the roster.
Okay.
Number 2, Benjamin Morrison. Number three, Xavier Watts. Number four, Mitchell Evans.
Wow. Okay.
And then number five, I'll give some love to Howard Cross. I wanted to go a linebacker there, but they're so damn young. I was just basically kind of going on who's got the most potential to go to the NFL next year, basically, and how valuable they are in terms of that kind of regard. So, yeah, I'll go Jeremiah Love, Benjamin Morrison, Xavier Watts, Mitchell Evans, Howard Cross. That would be my top five.
I would put Billy Shrouth in there someplace. So somebody's going to have to come out. I'm not sure exactly who that might be. That's always the fun of it, right? It's like, okay, if you're going to put so-and-so in, you got to take somebody out. You know, and it's like, okay, are we ranking them just by talent or are we ranking them by importance to the team? Because Riley Leonard belongs in that conversation if we're talking importance to the team. Because if he goes down, like...
Yeah, actually, I'll amend mine. I'll go Jeremiah Love 1, Benjamin Morrison 2, Riley Leonard 3, Xavier Watts 4, Mitchell Evans.
I think Mitchell Evans is on 5. The outside looking in.
Yeah, but he'll go to the NFL, but he's not as crucial to
the team's
success.
So you're looking at it from an NFL
kind of,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I would be looking at it from an importance to the team standpoint.
So give me your top five.
My top five as far as importance to the team would be Riley Leonard, Xavier Watts, Billy Shrouth. I'd throw Howard Cross in there, maybe at 4.
Man, no love for my man Jeremiah Love.
Yeah, but Jeremiah Love's replaceable.
I don't know, though.
This year, he's replaceable. I mean, look what happened last week with Jadarian Price and what he did. Their playoff hopes aren't dashed if Love...
I respectively disagree.
Well, that's okay. He's a very... Look, I would put him in the top five. He's fifth. I was looking for a fifth. So I will put him at fifth. So... and somebody asked how they got from 86 to 85. The actual answer to that, because Jaden Mickey left in the middle of the season. And so, yes, that got – they're actually at 84 now because they took somebody and they took them off scholarship, but then they paid for their scholarship with NIL money. So, and they didn't even announce who that was. And frankly, it doesn't really matter this day and age. But on paper, when they sent it to the NCAA, they were down to 85. So – yeah, again, it doesn't really matter who that person is and whatnot, because there's plenty of guys that are not on official scholarship but are getting everything paid for through NIL. So there's that. All right, Jesse, that is going to do it for this evening's show. Thanks for hanging out on a Wednesday. Appreciate you coming in. Make sure everybody tunes in to the women's basketball game here in about 35 or 40 minutes. Oh, wait, we got
you got two.
You're right. You're right. D-Troll is going to get his non.
His right. Super chat question. I'm not doing the ladder.
I say it every morning at school. I don't know what you're talking about. I'll put it up so everybody understands what we're talking about. D-Troll, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate you very much. He says, also say the Pledge of Allegiance to prove you're not a communist. But he said a committee.
Committees.
I don't know what that is. But
that we aren't a part of the committee. I don't know.
I don't know what that means either. But whatever, man.
But I'm going to answer the Dion question of the $5 super chat.
Yes, hit it.
Dion as the Cowboys head coach would make Jesse feel blank. It would make me feel. Would make me feel worse off, I guess, is maybe how I would go with that. I don't think Dion would fix any of their issues. I don't think he's a guy who's a cultural rebuild. Like, he's always been a superstar, you know, look at me. And that's fine because he always backed it up.
I was going to say, NFL is perfect for that.
But that's not what the Cowboys need. The Cowboys already suffer from, you know, hey, look at us. We play for the Dallas Cowboys. We got everything easy. Jerry Jones pays us a lot of money. Blah, 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 blah. They need someone who's actually going to go in there and be tough on them. You know, they need a Bill. I said this the other day. I would love, dream scenario, Bill Belichick would become the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, because I think he would instill toughness, discipline, and an actual culture inside that building. And I think problems would get worse with Deion, no matter how good of a coach he is. I think he would allow them to be drama queens and to be, you know what I mean? Just be divas, essentially. So I would not feel good if Deion became the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, if Deion became coach of the Dallas Cowboys, you would probably have his kid as your quarterback. So
also true, and I don't want that either. I don't want the Sanders show.
Because he's bringing the whole circus with him. You can guarantee yourself that.
He's bringing those Louis Vuitton bags, baby.
Yeah, you know. All right, that now is going to do it for tonight's show. Again, thanks, Jess, for coming in on a Wednesday. Appreciate that very, very much. And Sean and Jesse will be back tomorrow.
Maybe.
It's
you don't know
possible.
If I'll be here.
Yeah, you're right. I don't. I'm trying to, you know, play it up a little bit. Sean will be here. He has to be here. So Sean will definitely be here tomorrow at 5 o'clock. So make sure you tune in. And in the meantime, hit that like button, that subscribe button, that notification bell, and share with your family and friends. Really appreciate that. And we will talk to you next time on the Irish Breakdown Podcast, everybody. Have a great night. Appreciate you very much.